a hand here. God is so good. It's a double blessing for me because it is my first dedication here with you. And so just goes to further show that we are family. I got all my brothers and sisters. Y'all like, okay, this boy about to start singing. What's wrong with him? We heard him last time when he tried. It went tragically. I'm excited. We have been in this collection of talks that we've been calling 30 Plus. Joel said it so perfectly, so I won't repeat it. But today is the end of our series, but we're going to continue on this campaign to see 30 plus people come to know Jesus and for us to just turn that bulb. Listen, guys, I want to continue challenging you. If you're not here, if you're not making it a priority to be here on First Monday, I want to challenge you to be here. God is up to something. There's something special that is going on. So please make your way here. We're going to be in John chapter 17, verse 21 through 23. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? If you have a Bible, if you still live in the old ages, I still have a Bible. Would you put your thumb in Acts chapter 2? Verse 42 through 47, we'll be reading those passages as well, and then we'll pray, and you may take your seats. John 17, 21 through 23 says it like this, I pray, this is Jesus speaking here, that they will all be one. Just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that they will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Let's quickly move to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachers. How many?
All.
How many?
All.
And the fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Deep sense of awe came from them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, and they shared their money with those in need. And they worshiped together at the temple each day and met in the homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father God, in these moments that we have to gather together, would you speak? Would you call us to deep community with one another? Oh God, in Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. It's so hard to build community, isn't it? Like I think about this idea of community, like it's a hard thing, especially in the West. Right here, we are in America. We're kind of wired to be individualistic, isn't it? Aren't we? We're wired to kind of live lives in silos, and then when it is convenient to come together, we're wired to kind of, you know, be us. Right? You only live once, YOLO. So do that thing, and until it's done. And so community goes by the wayside. We felt what it really felt to actually live that way, right? You guys remember during the pandemic? I remember going on Facebook and Instagram. Everybody's just like, oh my gosh, if I have to go through one more Zoom call, oh, I'm gonna burn my computer down, you know? If I gotta be on my phone, I just want to see people. I just want to see people. I want to be in their face. I want to see them. I want to eat on the picnic table together. And then, you know, some of this mandate started rising, and then we were able to meet, and you see people at restaurants and what they doing. Oh, hey, let me get some water. You know what I'm saying? Isn't it wild? Like, we were all gone for so long, and we wanted this thing, and we were stuck to our phone. I have to admit, I'm like that. So a little while back, me and my wife were excited to go to this event, and I couldn't wait, and we went with some family, and man, I could not wait. I was like, man, we're going to do this together. We're going to be family, finally. Everybody agreed, and we go to this place, and everything is going, and guess what I was doing? I'm out here recording and taking pictures. Oh, and Janie's over here tapping me on the shoulder. Elijah. I was like, come on, woman. Shoe fly, don't bother me. You know what I'm saying? And my wife, I love my wife. She's amazing. It's over there. It's Mother's Day. Please don't look at me, Janie. She whispers in my ear. She says, hey, could you put your phone down and be present? We want to experience this with you. Talk about her. Don't clap for her. Don't y'all clap for her. Oh, y'all ain't right. Talk about a gut punch. I'm like, I know you're right. So you know what I do now when we go to events? I make sure I take videos really quick and put it to the... Say, you ain't gonna judge me today. She's saying, they're saying there's something here that's happening. There's something beautiful that's actually taking place. Would you put your phone down and would you be present? Right? Like we're here together. We're here together. We're trying to experience this. Why is your heart and mind scattered? Be present. Be here. Be in community. Community is such a beautiful thing, isn't it? Such a beautiful thing. As you guys know, I'm African. Can I teach you an African word? Can I teach you an African word? I want to teach you a word. It's called umoja. Umoja. Can you say that with me? Umoja. No. Don't say it like you're American or Michiganders. Umoja. No, that ain't the word that I'm teaching. It's called umoja. Umoja. Umoja just simply means unity. It's community. And it's deeper than just saying you're together, right? In fact, in Kwanzaa, it's one of the first candles that you light because it's trying to call people to unity. Where I'm from, Southern Africa, when they talk to you, they don't say, hey, where are you from or who are you? They don't say that. You know what they say? They say, whose are you? All right. Whose are you? Because here's the thing. This is what they're trying to communicate. You are not just you by yourself, right? In Africa, it is a communal society, right? So what they're saying is that you are the sum total of your parents and the people that raised you together in community. So in essence, what you do does not just reflect on you. It reflects on your community. Umoja. Whose are you? Whose are you? I have a friend from Africa, and he told me this story from his tribe, this idea, trying to bring home this idea of umoja. He in the tribe that he was really, really dark skinned, and he hated his dark complexion. He was darker than most of the other people there. And so he started ordering you guys know that bleaching cream stuff, right? So that he can lighten his skin. And it started working. He started lightening his skin. And in the tribe, in the community that they were having a party, right? And they were just celebrating their community. When he came to the party, the leader said, you have to go. You have to go. You can't be here. You have to leave our community. Because here's the thing, right? He was saying indirectly Not that I hate my dark skin. Not that I hate myself. He was saying, I hate us. That's what he was saying to the tribe. I hate who we are. By hating him, he hated who the people in his community loved him to be. He hated the care and compassion, the people who raised him as a child. And so by disfiguring himself, he said, I hate us. Umoja. It's deep. It's a deep sense of community. It's a deep sense of unity. That's what community is. Can I give you the dictionary's definition of community? It's simply just this. It's a feeling of fellowship or communion with God. Or more commonly it is a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes and interests and goals. That's simply what it is. That's simply what community is. What a beautiful picture. I think we see this identity, this commonality in the personhood of Jesus Christ being proclaimed right here in the text. Can we jump real quick to Acts chapter 2 here? And let me give you a little bit of context. By the time we get over here to Acts chapter 2, Jesus has been raised from the dead and has ascended into the heavens. He has commissioned his disciples to go and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. The Spirit of God has come and has empowered now his church. The birth of the church has happened. And in this moment, what we see is God's desire for community happening. The promise that God had given Abraham that through your line, right, that I will heal all the nations is actually manifesting right here in this moment. As we see different Jews from different dialects and tongues now begin to hear one message, one voice in their own language. And there's this beautiful picture, and Peter begins to preach. Man, when I tell y'all Peter preached, man, that man preached a message. He preached so hard that 3,000 people came to know Jesus that day and were baptized. Can I tell y'all something, Overflow Church? If I ever preached so good that 3,000 people came here, got saved and baptized, I'm going to retire right there on the spot. I'm like, it ain't getting better than that. And then, out of this result, the church is born, and there is a beautiful community that happens. I want you to think about what we just read and the weight of what's happening here. Look at verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. The word fellowship is derived from the Greek word koinonia. Right? Which simply just means, and here's the definition, I messed up earlier, it is Christian fellowship or communion with God, or more commonly with fellow Christians. It is a deep, intimate act. It is a oneness. You go from who are you to whose are you? And the resounding answer is that this community of faith was born through the commonality and the love of their precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Something amazing that's happening now. Now you're talking about Jews, which weren't even from the same area, which spoke different languages, which were just there for the festival of Pentecost. Now. They are united as one because of Jesus. Oh, this is deep. This is serious. This is beautiful. This community is birthed into this newness. A New Testament scholar, Scott McKnight, says it like this, that there are four identifying markers for this early church in Acts chapter 2. There are four identifying markers in this early church in Acts chapter 2. The first one is commonality. The second one is concord. The third one is commensality. The fourth one is commendation. This is what he's saying, right? That the early church was a spontaneous commonality that included resources and possessions of every kind and accountability and liability for one another. This is what it's saying, right? Commonality, this is basically what it means. They had everything in common. If somebody was poor, you didn't just walk by that person. You sold what you had and you gave it. Right? Like, it wasn't just about me. It's how can we see this person grow? This is what we're doing in dedication up here, honestly, right? It's saying, how can we see this person thrive? How can we see this person continue to move forward? And not just how can I be okay by myself? He goes on to say, concord, meaning every day they continued to meet together. That they were consistent. They didn't check the box off and say, okay, it's my time now. I'll leave, but then I'll check in on Sunday. That actually, that every day, all 168 hours of the week, that they were consistent with each other. Commensality, meaning that there was a sacred society. There was no discrimination. No one was over the other. There was no hierarchy in the first century church, right? That they were all one. And finally, commendation. That their reputation inside their community and outside of the community was so stellar that people outside said, I want what they want, they have. And they commended them from it and they joined the church. This was this community. It was beautiful. It was striking. And there was a togetherness around the common love and adoration of who Jesus Christ was that could not be quenched, that their fire burned so bright. You want to know how bright this fire burned? This in the first century, right? That this ragtag group of people, which was following this rabbi who was murdered on a cross and then allegedly rose from the grave, that they started worshiping and living the way and the teachings of Jesus, that 2,000 years later we stand here today on their shoulders. That fire did not get quenched. That the fire did not get extinguished. This is the beauty of what God was taking place. And it set ablaze. I love, obviously, First Monday prayer. We were doing First Monday, and I got to talk to our sister Elizabeth, and she got baptized. And afterwards, she was standing there, honestly, and I hope that she's okay with me sharing the story, with just tears in her eyes. And she said, man, none of these people know me. Like, I was watching online, I came in Easter, I responded to baptism, and I just said, like, man, I wanna go the way that God is calling me. And then I get baptized, and people all of a sudden just spontaneously, I didn't say go and do this, go hug them. People just started going and hugging her and saying, welcome to the family. What a beautiful picture of community. She says, it feels like they're my family. Whose are you? Whose are you? It's not individual. It's something. There's something that's more tangible. That's more beautiful. That's taking place at the epicenter of this thing. Whose are you? That you don't belong to yourself, but you belong to a collective whole that wants to love you through it. And see, this is uncomfortable because we're not taught like this. We're not raised like this. We don't live in this kind of society. I don't want, if somebody comes up to me and says, hey, man, like, hey, I want to see you more. I want to pray with you. Can I challenge something in your heart? What? I'm leaving this church. I'm frustrated with them. I'm making phone calls during the service. No, I'm joking. Something beautiful about this. When we actually come together, when we're in this oneness, when God is at work. Philosopher Dallas Willard, he was a professor from the University of Southern California, wrote this book, one of my favorite books. It's called The Spirit of the Disciplines. If you've ever, if you've never read it, please get it. This is what he says. He says, personalities united can contain more of God and sustain the force of the of his greater presence much better than scattered individuals. The fire of God kindles higher as the brands are heaped together and each is warmed by the other flames. The members of the body must be in contact if they are to sustain and be sustained by each other. We cannot do this walk with Jesus by ourselves. And if you have been told that, that is a lie from the devil. Amen. You will be picked off and you will fall away. You know what's so common about these people these days, which are saying that I've deconstructed our faith, and there's nothing wrong with deconstruction, right? You just got to make sure that you're building something up where you're tearing things down. But you know what's in common with all the people who say that? I decided I was going to leave the church and I was going to figure it out by myself. That's what's in common. Because you didn't have people to say, hey, can I help you walk through that with you? Right. You're asking good questions. You're not the enemy because you're asking questions. Can I help you walk through that together? On the flip side of that, we got church folks. As soon as somebody starts asking questions, we're like, hey, you need to get up out of here. Instead of saying, I'm here to walk with it, through it with you. The reason why we resist community is because it comes with a cost, isn't it? Community truly does come with a cost. This community thing, it consumes our lives if we had to be honest. It doesn't work any way otherwise. It consumes our life and God's desire for us, and we end up having to trade our kingdoms and we have to adhere to God's kingdom. Again, Dallas Willard, he famously said this in defining the kingdom of God. This is what he said. The kingdom of God is where God wants to happen, happens. Inversely, the kingdom of man is where what I want to happen, happens. I cannot serve in two kingdoms. Either I allow God to be over my kingdom and to take control of my heart, or I am the one who is in control. Someone has to be subject, and the truth is, when it is our kingdom, community cannot thrive well because community then is dependent on me. I am the sustainer of it. So it's about my whims, right? If I'm not feeling good, guess what? I'm shutting you out. If I don't want to hear the truth about what's going on in my life, about the relationship that I'm in, about the way that I'm treating my wife, about the way that I'm loving my children, guess what? It's my kingdom. I don't have to listen to you. But in God's kingdom, I am accountable to you, and you are accountable to me. That's different. Yeah. See, community comes at a cost. Could you, in this kingdom vision here, let me give you this picture. Could you say, man, I've been waiting for this job. And I want it, and I love it. And you know what? And so I'm going to move right miles and miles away, right, to this place where I don't know anybody. And I'm going to plug in there. Even though here, right, I may be making less money, but I have people who love me. My children are plugged in to with other kids who love Jesus, and I am being fed, and I am being blessed. Could you say, I'm going to give up that job because I value community so much? That's different. That's first century church kind of stuff. See, I'm not saying that you don't move. Please don't hear me. If that's what God is saying for you to do, go do that. But I guarantee you most decisions that we make are not based on the community that we're a part of. They're based off of my kingdom and what I want to do and what will help me feel better and what will happen in states like that. And what usually happens is that we end up being disconnected and we find ourselves afloat somewhere, right, asking God, like, I don't know where I'm at now. Do I even believe in God? Because we've disconnected ourselves from people which want to invest in our lives. That's right. Y'all ain't gotta talk with me. I know this is a hard pill. Maybe, yes, right. Maybe it's choosing to be generous with your time, talents, and treasures. I know it's hard to get here on first Monday. I know it's the first day of the week. I know it's hard and you're tired, but what does it look like for Elizabeth, who came in, who had been watching this beautiful community of faith, and she stands there, and all these people are coming and hugging, and you get to be a face that hugs her and loves on her. Maybe it's choosing to sit at the table with someone, I might get in trouble for this one, who believes differently than you, politically. And instead of getting upset at them, and yelling at them and writing things on Facebook about them, we have a conversation with them. And we might still leave disagreeing about our political views, but we understand that what defines them is not what party that's marked under their box. What defines them is the blood of the Lamb. Yes, yes, yes. And that they are brothers and sisters. That's community. And we leave saying, you know what? I'll jump in front of a bullet for that person. I love that person. I don't care what they voted for or whatever. We can have good conversation about that, but I love them. Because let me tell you something. The real change that will happen is doesn't matter. It's not who you vote for or whatever. It's the way that you love one another. That's what will bring about real change, if we got to be honest up in here. You see, real community comes at a cross. We cry. We want to go back to the first century church. We cry, oh my goodness, I can't wait till like we can be like those guys in the Bible. And we have that opportunity, but yet we squander away. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his famous book, the German theologian Bonhoeffer, in his famous book, Life Together, says these words: those who love their dream of Christian community more than Christian community itself become destroyers of that Christian community. Even though their personal intentions may be ever so honest, earnest, and sacrificial. Whew, that's tough. That you can actually be destroying the thing that you love by not engaging in it. See, here's the big idea that I want us to land on today. Jesus' call to community is a radical call to love. It is a radical call to love. Jesus says, he prays his words right before he's going to the cross, y'all. And if you're going to listen to somebody, I tell you what, you better listen to them when they're on their deathbed, right? Their final words. This is what he says. I pray that they will be what? One. I pray that they will be one. Just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Can I use my Christian imagination real quick? I can imagine Jesus, as he's praying this, what I like to call the Lord's Prayer. I know they call the other one the Lord's Prayer. I actually think the other one is the high priestly prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer, because he is praying here for the church. I can imagine Jesus and his disciples circled around,
And he looks at Peter, and he looks past Peter, and he sees all the churches that he would touch. He sees the Roman guard, who's not Jewish, but is of a different ethnicity, right? And remember, in the first century church, ethnicity or race wasn't about this. It wasn't about skin. It was about religious practice, right? And he looks to them, those which would have been considered Gentiles. And he sees the Roman centurion, and he sees that all of their house will come to know Jesus and call him Savior. And he looks past him, and he sees the church. And I can imagine as he turns around, he says, that they may be one, Father. And he sees John over here. And he sees the youngest of them, right? And he sees that John is going to love Jesus so hard that he's going to preach the gospel, and his preaching is going to get him in trouble, and he's going to be stuck on an island for much of his life preaching the gospel, but he's going to love the church. And I can imagine as he turns around looking at disciple after disciple, and then he zeroes in on Judas. And as Dr. Ralph Douglas West says, it seems like there's a gap where Judas is, and he looks past Judas, and he looks all the way into the future, and he sees Overflow Church. He sees you, he sees me, and he says, I pray that they may be one. Oh my goodness. N.T. Wright says that Jesus' prayer brings us in the future right into that circle with those disciples, and he puts the same demands on us that he put on them. I pray that they may be one. Whose are you? Jesus asks. Whose are you? Who do you belong to? Do you belong to me? Then love one another. Because the way that you love one another, what does he say? That the world may know. That the world may know. Maybe the reason why the world doesn't know in America why that Jesus came from God is because we're not doing too much loving in rooms like this. Would you give me two more minutes here? I know I'm going over my time. I had a couple of conversations this last couple of weeks. Right, this is not an indictment on anybody, but this is the truth. This is the truth. It was crazy. I had about 2-3 conversations in that parking lot right there, from people which used to go to Overflow Church that said to me, "You know what? I used to go to Overflow Church, but I had to leave. I had to leave, man. You know why, Pastor? Because it seemed like people started clicking up. What? Are you serious? It seemed like people started clicking up, and it didn't seem that there was like love going on." Just for certain people. Overflow Church, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you that God is calling us to something more, to a unity for one another that is so deep, that is so rich, that the Bible says that they love each other, that the world looked inside and said, I want to be a part of that. And they grew. And we do that when we understand whose we are, not who I am. Whose kingdom we belong to, not my kingdom be done. One of the ways that we do that here, I want you to grab your phones, is in community. Grab your phones. If you have a flip phone, you can leave now. This message is not for you. Came to me actually last service with a smartphone, and it like actually flipped. He was like, now what, Pastor Elijah? I was like, all right, you got me. And this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to put this QR code up here. There's a reason why we talk about groups here, because this is the way that we are going to do life with one another. We want to empower you. If God has given a gift or a talent in you, and there's some people which want to be a part of that, we're going to resource you, and we want to send you out, because we want to do life together. We want to do life together. We don't want to do it separately. We don't want to do it in silos. We're not just doing it so that we can gather more people. Yes, will that be a benefit of our community? There'll be more people which didn't know Jesus, which will be in a part of this family, which now know Jesus. Of course that is. But we want to do it together. This is the reason why we call for you to be in groups. So this is why I just want you to turn your camera on, and I want you to click on this QR code. And I want you to say, hey, what's stopping me from being a part of this? Why am I using my time, talents, and treasure for something else? And when I'm trying to push the kingdom cause, when God is calling me to do this here together, to be one. What's so awesome is that we belong not just to this community, the little C, but we also belong to the big C, the church as a whole. And God is actually up to something. And when we give our tithes and our offering, we're able to do things like you saw last week, give to the people of Ukraine because they're part of a church in our network. And God continues to bless your tithing and your giving. Watch this video with me.